together. If you ever try to break into my account, if you can't find out my favorite childhood teacher, my best friend, or the street that I was raised on, them security questions, they ask what is the pastor's favorite song. It is. God is. It is. God is. God is. Trumps everything else. You can't get higher than God is. You might just find yourself saying, God is. Anybody know he's the joy and the strength of your life? Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew. Chapter 3, verses 1-4. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Go rather than make his paths straight. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. If you could, Baptist, need a subject this morning, that's it. Christmas is coming. The air conditioning is sounding real good right now. Maybe I can get a little fewer or more rocks to say Christmas is coming. Don't touch your neighbor, but slap your neighbor and say something up in here. Don't touch him. You've got to be deaf, blind, living in Siberia or under some rock. Have not realized that the Yuletide season is upon us. It seems like the commercialization of Christmas gets earlier and earlier and earlier every year. If I'm mindful and put my museum in memory, it seemed like as soon as Halloween was over, Christmas trees and decorations began going up in malls and in stores. The commercialization of the Christ wants you to skip straight over Thanksgiving and head straight to Christmas. And I'm one of those persons who refuses to start putting up anything related to Christmas until after Thanksgiving. I use that got a few witnesses up in there. Them orange wreaths and them pumpkins did not come off my hat porch until that Friday after. And I will admit that I've been a little late, as my children told me yesterday. yesterday after getting back in town that our light game is off dead end. As they have perused through the neighborhood, they realize that daddy ain't put up enough lights yet. And so after I get my good Sunday afternoon nap, praise the Lord, we are headed to the Lowe's because Leah wants rainbow lights this year, daddy. Our light game is off. Christmas parties have started for you all who go to them. I seen you already on Facebook. Pastor be trolling and see what the saints are doing. Why y'all don't come to church no more? Because you're tired. Everywhere you look, there are signs of the season. But 2017 years ago, there were no lights. There were no Christmas trees. There were no Salvation Army attendants waving and ringing the bell. 2,000 years ago, there were no office parties. Office potluck dinners. 2,000 years ago, there were no Christmas plays. 2,000 years ago, you did not get the children together to go see a movie called The Star, based on the birth of a man by Jesus Christ from the perspective of the animals in the manger. 2,000 years ago, there were no parties, no sales, no five flyers dogging down your mailbox telling you where the latest sales are. 2,000 years ago, there was no Black Friday or Internet whatever Monday. 2,000 years ago, there was just a man by the name of John that said, be baptized and repent, for the Messiah is on the way. 2,017 years ago, nobody tweeted you where the next Christmas party was. 2,017 years ago, nobody posted pictures of them at their Christmas party and all they love. Years ago, there was just again the man by the name of John that said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There was a man by the name of John who began baptizing people because of the kingdom was at hand. John the Baptist did not create baptism. Baptism was already a part of Jewish customs and religion. It actually was a purification ceremony called Shiva, Yiva Salar, and it was a purification ceremony that happened multiple times of the year, not just one time like we do as good Baptists when you join the church that you're baptized once and never baptized again. But Jews believed during this time that John was baptized and that any time you needed a cleansing. Oh, a lot of us would have to keep the water warm. Nobody want to talk to me up in heaven. But anytime you felt that you needed to get right with God, and you would have this thing called Tevala, where you were re-baptized, you were re-submerged, that you were taken down once again in really a symbolic purification of your entire body. And that's where baptism began. But John coupled that baptism with repentance, that you did not just get baptized to clean your outside. That baptism was an inside job. That coupled with your outside purification, your washing away your sins, there had to be your confession of your sins on the inside, because at the end of the day, only you and God know all your sins. You might have shared with a few people your problems and a few people your issues, a few people what you're going through, but at the end of the day, you can't tell it all because you don't need to tell it all. And in no way in the Bible it says you got to confess your sins. You got to confess your fault, but not your sins. And no other man needs to know everything. Praise the Lord. 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 Everything you've done. And he says that the Messiah was coming. But we got pray that we make his way straight or prepare or become prepared for him is to repent and be baptized. And John was smarter than us. John understood, like Mary, that every time something supernatural happens, you've got to be in a supernatural position. You cannot be carnal and understand everything from human perspective and understand that when Messiah gets here. That's why everybody couldn't respect the fact that Messiah was coming, because they were looking for something that man said was coming and not what the Lord said. Help me, somebody. John said, you've got to release all of your impurities so that you can be pure in heart and mind to receive the revelation from God. I'm trying to walk a little heavy up in here, but they won't let me. I'm trying to tell you something. You cannot get what God has got going on and for you in your life if you got too much dirt around. Well, that'd make it plain right now. You can't get your man if you're hanging out with somebody else. That's plain for you. You can't get the promotion if you don't come to work on time. Is that plain enough for you? You can't get your blessing in the house of the Lord watching church on TV. That's for y'all watching. God bless your heart. See you next Sunday. And he says, repent and be baptized. This text suggests us three things and we'll be on our way. First of all, this text says that John was a witness. Somebody say witness. And the only way that you can witness is to open up your mouth. We got one. Can I get another? I said, can I get another? Can I get another? Everybody should be so loud up in here that you can't hear the one witness. If you don't want to hear the one witness we got, why don't you say something every now and then? You don't want to hear anything. You don't want to hear us say it again. You say it again sometimes.
I declare unto you that holiness is still right. We've got to be a witness that he's coming for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And every church got spots. And every church got wrinkles. But he's still looking for one without it. He's looking for one that can be pure. And that's why you got to be careful how you hang around people and who you hang around and where you find yourself. He finds himself in a wilderness. And even in a wilderness, which is a long period of despair, not a cold, not a hangnail, a long period of despair. But even in his long period of despair, he could still find a way to open up his mouth and give God the praise. It's easy to give God praise when you have everything going on. It's easy to give God praise when all your money is up. It's easy to give God praise when everything is working in your good. But can you praise the Lord? When you're at rock bottom and don't know if and how you're going to make it. Again, I tell you, that's what we need. So you find a way over this month at your Christmas parties, at party potlucks. You find a way to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. You find a way to tell everybody who's drinking their spirits with a small S. And I had communion on First Sunday. That will sustain me. But not only was he a witness, but I want you to know that he helped prepare the way. And we need to thank John the Baptist for help preparing the way. And Jesus and God really never, ever, ever just send someone down an elevator to heaven, to earth. Jesus really, and God, his Father, doesn't really just pop up on you. There's always going to be a forerunner. You don't believe me? Ask Joshua. Let me tell you, Moses was my forerunner. If you don't believe me, ask Elijah, and he'll tell you that Elijah was his forerunner. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. Peter said, really, John the Baptist was my forerunner. Before anybody comes or before God does anything we think brand new, somebody has already prepared the way. And he always makes our way straight. And that's why when you in your life, you don't ever have to cut any pieces to the puzzle. Everything that God wants for you and for you and has for you, he makes it easy for you to get. I'm telling you, I'm looking at some people. You ain't applied for no job you ever got. There's a few of us up in here. There's a few of us up in here. You ain't never applied for it. My daddy ain't made me fill out no application. You done fired me a few times. And that's the truth. Every time he fires me, my director of HR, my mama. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness up in here? I said, can I get a witness up in here? You might have my mama, but you got Jesus. I said, you got Jesus. And that's enough. And every time you might find your way outside the ark of safety, don't know how you're going to make it, somebody will step here right in the midst of time and make your way straight for you. One of our problems, I don't want to hold you too long, one of our problems is that sometimes, you know, we make Jesus' way crooked. John said make his way straight. But we make his way crooked. Do you know how much time Jesus had to spend on small stuff getting you out of? Do you know how much you aggravate Jesus with your little mistakes you've been asking him to solve for you? And while he is spending all that time getting you out of a mess you created, he ain't got enough time to bless you with all the blessings so that your cup overflowing. They don't like that, Erica. They don't like that right there. They don't like that right there, but it is the truth. It is the truth of the word of God. By your aggravating and frustrating his grace. It's simple parenting. How many times y'all were headed somewhere or going somewhere, but the kids started acting up, you just said, well, we ain't going. I'm thinking, oh, I'm thinking, really, somebody heard me. I do believe. Or when you were going to get your kid one thing and you realize how bad they've been and you put it back. When you want to give them the iPhone. 10, but they're just going to be stuck with that 6. And if that works in your household, why you don't think it works in heaven? And you can't go forward in your life if you're stuck in your own mud that you have created. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And that is why our religion originally was called the way. It wasn't Christianity. It wasn't even a Christian. It wasn't Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran. They said that they were children of the way. In the early church, they were children of or followers of the way. Probably based on the fact that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but me. That there is a way. There is a way. There is a right way. And there is a wrong way. And I know we're living again in this society called 50 Shades of Grey where you just make up your own way. Do it your own way. Have it your own way. But life ain't Burger King. That's the only place where you can really have it your own way. You can try all you want to have it your own way in life. But I'm looking at some people with some gray hair who know they have tried it their way. And when they tried it their way, they messed up. And then you got to call on Jesus to fix it up. And the only thing you had to do is listen to your heart the right way and how he told you to do it. Just wait sometimes on the Lord. And you'll renew your strength. Stop getting ahead of him. The Bible says, according to this text, that he was a witness. Second of all, the text says that he prepared the way because there is but one way. And then third and finally, I want to let you know that John wasn't weird. He was a witness. He prepared the way. But I want to close by letting you know that John was not weird. Those of you who have been hanging around the church long time, you probably have heard once or twice some preacher saying that John was weird. Or that he appeared to be weird. And that he was strange based upon his clothing and things that he ate. You've heard it once good. I've got one or two witnesses who've been around and you ain't skipped 2 minutes Sundays. All y'all who don't know what I'm talking about, don't skip 2 minutes. That John was a little weird based upon the text upon what he wore and what he ate. But the text says that he wore not the fine suede of the camel, but he wore the raiments of the camel's hair. In other words, that where people wear suede jackets, now that's the inside, that's the skin of the camel. That John was the first crisscross. But he turned it around and didn't have the good side showing. He had the, help me somebody. He had the bad side of the camel showing. And so people said that he was strange because he didn't wear the good side. He wore the bad side. But there might be a few of y'all in here who might be a little weird in your little dress codes. Anybody got them sisters on right now? Polly and Esther? You're a little weird. Anybody got on black stockings and white shoes? Look down your road. Look down your rope. You a little weird. Everybody do a little stuff a little weird. Let's don't even talk about his diet. The Bible says that his diet was locusts, which are insects, and honey. That's weird to us. But you cannot forget the context of where he is. He is in the wilderness. What else does he have to eat? But that which the wilderness provides for him to eat. He is in the wilderness. And even in the wilderness, there is provision. You don't like what he's got to eat, but I don't like what you eat either. Some of y'all are weird. Those of y'all who put ketchup on eggs. That's weird. Those of y'all from up north put sugar on grits. That's weird to us. All thing you put on grits is butter, cheese, and bacon. And if you're in Charleston, we'll let you put a little shrimp and gravy on it. Some of y'all weird. Those of y'all who put cornbread can still kill some chitlins. I know some of y'all think we weird too, baby. But just bring me some Texas pig that take the steak reel off of it, baby. Can I get a chitlin witness up in here? Psychiatrist, because the boy who was a pessimist seemed like clinical depression, but he's just a pessimist. And there are a lot of people we know just pessimists. Everything always wrong. Everything can never be right. They always going through. But what church they go to? But if you know the Jesus I know, you got to be coming out that revolving door at some time. You can't always be going through. And he was an eternal pessimist. Nothing was ever right, and nothing ever satisfied him, and everything he looked at, he thought was bad. But then they had an eternal optimist, like my boy Ian, and everything is always thumbs up, Daddy. There's nothing wrong with the world. Leave people alone. Everything ain't going to be all right. I'll take whatever you give me because I'm going to make a way out of it. And everything was always happy. He never came down off the mountain. And this was the time before they could give you medicine. And people just said you had a chemical imbalance. We ain't know how to get you down off the mountain. Just run around and run around. Just let the boy run until they get tired. So they took these two boys to a psychiatrist, and psychiatrist said, well, on Christmas, I want you to get that pessimist a brand new shiny red bike. Let's see if that helps him. For that boy that's always on top of the mountain and won't never come down, get him a bale of hay. And on Christmas morning, that optimist woke up 4 a.m. like good children do on Christmas. That's why Santa Claus got to come at 5:30 when they fall back to sleep. That optimist went downstairs and he ain't seen nothing. But he went back to sleep. Around 10 a.m., the pessimist rolled out of bed with a frown on his face. He didn't have on no Christmas pajamas, just his underwear and his t-shirt that he fell asleep in. And he came down and just said, morning. He ain't look under the tree. He just went straight to the breakfast table. And there was that optimist just running around the house looking for something. And the family brought out the red shiny bike and said to the pessimist, good morning, Merry Christmas. This is what Santa Claus brought for you, this brand new shiny red bike. He looked at the bike and he said, what's that for? And the parents said, that's for you to ride outside with the other kids. He said, if I take that bike outside and ride with a kid, I'm going to get hit by a car. And he went back to his room. That optimist was still walking around the house looking for his gift. And then all of a sudden, Talifera, that optimist, went outside. And he found in the front yard a bale of hay. And he started walking around that hay. 12 noon, he was walking around that hay. 1 p.m., he was walking around that hay. 2 p.m., he was still walking around that hay. 3 p.m., when his cousins got there and other relatives for Christmas dinner, he was still walking around the hay. And all of a sudden, one of his uncles said, boy, why are you walking around this hay? And he said, I've been walking around this hay all morning and all afternoon because I believe there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. And I don't know about you, but when life gives you hay, keep walking around it, trusting God that there's a pony.